lips is pain of love in my heart. And he writes my soul a message he wants me to know. His spirit all divine fills a sinful soul of mine. When God dips his love in my heart. Well, said a wound tells to a living soul how he brought salvation and he made me whole. But I found I couldn't hide such love as Jesus did impart. Well, he made me laugh and he made me cry. He set my sinful soul on fire.
Hallelujah.
When God dips his love. Well, sometimes though the way is dreary, dark, and cold, and some unburdened sorrow keeps me from the goal, I go to God in prayer. I can always find Him there to whisper sweet peace to my soul. Well, said He wouldn't tell to a living soul how He brought salvation and He made me whole. But I found I couldn't hide such love as Jesus did impart. Well, He made me laugh and He made me cry. He set my sinful soul on fire.
Hallelujah.
When God dips His love in my
step of Calvary's rugged way, and He gave His life completely to bring a better day. My life was steeped in sin, but in love He took me in. His blood washed away.
And He made me whole. But I found I couldn't hide such love as Jesus did impart. Well, He made me laugh and He made me cry. He set my sinful soul on fire.
Hallelujah.
When God dips His love in my heart.
Hallelujah. When God dips His love, His sweet love.
store unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew right spirit within me.
Create in me a clean heart,
Yahweh, and renew right spirit.
We're gonna rise up with the sun in the morning. We're gonna start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without the love and kindness of our Lord and our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're gonna do the work our Lord puts before us. There's a job that surely needs to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under their thumb. We ain't gonna wait around any longer. We ain't gonna hesitate anymore. Now that we've opened up our eyes and analyzed the situation, we realize that we're in a war. And it's a struggle for the life of our nation, for the survival of our sovereignty. And it's a battle for the heart, mind, and soul of the people, for our freedom and our liberty. And so we ain't gonna fight for the new world order. We ain't gonna train to be no UN soldier. And we ain't gonna give the enemy no more aid nor quarter. 'Cause we ain't gonna fight for the new world order. No, 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 no way.
No way.
Jose.
Jose.
Now they can't make us.
Can't
they can't break us.
Can't break
say
us.
Adios.
Adios.
Oh, Boutros,
Boutros.
Surrender my nation to your global plantation? Well, I don't think so. We're gonna fire off some letters to Congress. We're gonna flood them with our faxes and phone calls. We're gonna tell them we the people won't put up with their treatment.
treason with their stealing and their stalling in stone walls. And if they keep forgetting just who the boss is, we might as well not pay them any more taxes. If we the people ever finally get our whole act together, we could have the global bankers for breakfast. Because we ain't gonna fight for the new world order, and we ain't gonna train to be no UN soldiers, and we ain't gonna give the enemy no more aid nor quarter. Cause we ain't gonna fight for the new world order. No, 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 no way.
No way.
Jose.
Jose.
Now they can't make us. They can't break us.
Can't break
say goodbye
us.
And so long. Boy, Kofi Annan, trade away our system for global communism?
We don't think so.
We're gonna agitate some radio stations. We're gonna try to get them playing our songs. And if they flat refuse to play patriotic music, then we'll know whose side they're really on. And when we take it to the streets of our cities, we'll force the media to cover our action. And when we vote, we're gonna dominate the coming elections, make the Rockefellers wonder what happened. And we said we ain't gonna fight for the new world order. And we ain't gonna train to be no UN soldier. And we ain't gonna give the enemy no more aid nor quarter. Cause we ain't gonna fight for the new world order. God bless the Republic. Through faith we cannot fail.
Death to the new world order.
We shall prevail.
Contrary to what the U.S. government is telling you, I am here to tell you there is a Gulf War illness. This is not the worst story of the 20th century. It is the worst story of America's history. Some of our finest servicemen and women have already died. Many are sick. We will not stop in seeking justice for our American military.
God had a man who became one. We see. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 27th day of April, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Situation Update. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His Holy Remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast, Cumri Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And we draw your attention to the Daily Mail page, where we put current events, news items, health items, etc. And on the home page, there's information for anybody interested in helping out with a donation. The Contact Us page, if you don't have any of my other contact information, will get to me, and you can send me a note via the website on the Contact Us page. Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So, lost tribes, that's us, lost in many ways, spiritually, emotionally, intelligently. You name it. It seems like we're lost. We're like a ship without a rudder anymore. It's just insane, the things that are going on right now. Absolutely insane. And thank you, Ella. Thank you very much. So I've been kind of away from the office and the desk here for most of the last week or so because the... thanks to the generosity of one of my family members, I was able to get a better automobile to travel in, so I've been busy doing some maintenance work and getting that up to speed, plus catching up on some other things, too. So I do apologize for that. However, I've tried to stay with my finger on the pulse pretty much, and you just kind of shrug your shoulders sometimes. It's like, what on earth is going on here? But that's why the Father told us when all this craziness was going on that we should, you know, put our trust in Him. And we're going to read some verses that deal with the topic of faith here shortly, because that's where we have to be right now. You've got to be in the zone of faith. And it goes to show that He said these things were coming as a forewarning and a foretelling. He also said that this would be a test. Our time on this earth would be a test. And what greater test than the things that are happening today? It's unbelievable. So faith is more important now than ever. And so we've got to address that topic and help each other out. We're one great big family here. Doesn't matter what country our Israelite brothers and sisters are in. Doesn't matter what language they speak or anything else. We're part of a family, and we need to reach down and give a hand to our brothers and sisters, because a lot of people are in trouble today. Financial trouble in some cases, legal troubles in others, marital troubles, domestic troubles, anxiety over the things that are going on, financial, I think I said financial. But so it's affecting a lot of different areas of our life, and it takes strength of character and strength of faith to get through troubling times like this. And so we want to focus tonight on that a little bit. Of course, we're hearing all kinds of things on the financial side, including the fact that the WHO is trying to set the stage for one world governance again. The United Nations, these different organizations like the UN, the WHO, even NATO and European Union, all that, these things are not for the benefit of mankind. They're just not. we've tried to talk about that issue. If you see something that's centralized, whether it's government, religion, news, media, banking, whatever, it's done for the benefit of the oligarchs, whether you want to call them elitists, the oligarchs, the cabal, the communists, the bankers. I mean, they're all pretty much Talmudic Jews at the very top. And they've got their Shabbaz Goy, which means stupid cattle, the whites and the blacks and the browns and the Asians that do their bidding. They tolerate them to a certain extent because they're the face that's presented to all the sheep out there, while the ultra-rich Jew sits in the background pulling the strings on everybody else. So similar to the Pesur family and others like that, these particular families are bloodlines. They've been there for probably millennia, pulling strings, once again, hiding behind the people like Rothschild, Soros, and all those guys. Okay, not that they're not evil and part of the problem, but they're not the main financiers behind what's going on. So these are very, very rich, powerful people, and they carry a lot of ability to deceive the world through their finance. Okay, if you've got that kind of money laying around, you can create all kind of things. And that's why the Founding Fathers and even Christ told us, if you read between the lines, that you have to be careful who's your master. Okay, he said you can't serve two. You can't serve mammon, which is an analogy to materialism and money. Okay, that's mammon. That's man-made things. Those are idols, so to speak. So he says choose who you're going to serve. Okay, you can serve mammon, which is chasing after dollars or gold or silver or promotions or careers or whatever. Those are all idols, man-made idols, and they're all under the control of the enemy. And he says, so make up your mind. Do you want to be chasing after that, or do you want to chase after the Creator? Choose whom you will serve this day. You can't serve both. So that's the problem today. Most people, especially in America, I would say maybe even all of North America, our people, the Israelites, the Caucasian Israelites, they've become twice the child of hell because they've been proselytized into the Talmudic Judaism, which is Satanism, which is worshiping gold and silver and mammon. We've fallen into that, and we've become twice the children of hell that even the Jews are, because our people have lost all sense today. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they come from. They don't even know the rudimentary emotional attachments that should be there to protect one's children, their families. They have put no value in families. I saw a video where young women were being interviewed, and they were talking and bragging about having abortions, and the person that was debating them said, well, you know, that's a baby. No, that's just a clump of cells. And so they went back and forth, and it was like the one girl finally admitted, she goes, even if it was a baby, if it interferes with my ability to get a good career and a good job and to have a happy life, then it should be gotten rid of. Okay? That is satanic. That is so aberrant of an attitude. It beggars description. It really does. How can somebody be so cold to think that a child developing in their belly can be gotten rid of if it interferes with their pleasure centers or their career goals or if it's just not convenient? Well, maybe you should have thought about that before you spread your legs, darling, and decided to let a man into the sacred womb to plant his seed. Dumbass. So you didn't, and you created a human being, you created a person, And now you want to destroy it because it's inconvenient. I mean, how callous and cold can you be? And this doesn't get the guys off the hook either. If the guy was the sperm donor that created this, then he shares in the blame of it, obviously. So it's not just a woman's decision. There's a guy involved somewhere, unless she's not telling him. But what a mess, just in this one area. We don't even know what life means. We don't even recognize a baby to be a baby. We do not care about our own kind. Even in the animal kingdom, they don't do that. Animals behave better than you, people, mankind. Animals do. And yet we're supposed to be the highest creation, the closest to the Almighty. Can you imagine what he's thinking, sitting on his throne, looking down at the creation? This is what they've become. I gave them everything they need. I sent prophets to them. I came down and put on flesh and walked amongst them to show them the way. I even allowed myself to be sacrificed on their behalf, which is my own law. And this is what I get for my creating and for my love of my children. This is what I get in return. They don't care for each other. They don't care about their own kind. They don't care about my law. So it's amazing to me how many of these people, now a lot of them don't even profess to believe in God, which is obvious. They become satanic. They are fully narcissistic and self-centered beyond belief. But there's even a lot that go down this path that claim to be believers. That's an amazing thing. So the New World Order, this cabal of Jews who want to rule the world because they think it's their destiny, they are debasing the currency, and there is a wealth transfer from the people to this small clique of elitists like never before in history. This is a communist insurgency worldwide. And one of the things that the Communist Manifesto talks about is the elimination of the middle class. Okay? The working middle class, gone. You are either part of the ruling elite or you're a slave. Period. That's why a piece of shit like Klaus Schwab can say, you will own nothing and be happy. Okay? Because that's their Jew attitude. Slaves don't own anything. And you're going to be happy that we even let you live, or that we let you have an apartment to rent, as long as you behave yourself, as long as you don't do anything to get us upset. Typical of Zio communists, right? So now they're also going after food. They're changing weather patterns and creating droughts in certain areas, floods in other areas. And just man-made rules, okay? Because, again, corporations are part of the problem. Because almost all corporations are run by these same cabalists. And so if they can't do it by weather, they'll do it by simply putting out edicts from the main office, so to speak. It just says, don't shut down this line, or don't do this, or they get some quack to put out a paper about avian flu and order millions of chickens to be destroyed. When it's all bullshit. It's all a great big lie. I sure hope people have figured that out. So we've got that going on. Ukraine, they call it a war. It's actually not a war. It's more of an internal dispute. It's been going on for a very long time. And the people out there that are making a big ruckus over what Russia's doing. Where the hell were these people when the United States government, through people like Nuland, who's a kike, goes over there with billions of our dollars, bribing and paying off people to get them to overthrow the duly elected individual and allow this Jewish cabal to take over the reins of control in the Ukraine. And once they take control, Ukraine becomes the hub of all kinds of nefarious activities. Where were all the soft-headed and soft-hearted morons, crybabies, snowflakes, when that was all going on, including the trafficking of children and young girls out of Europe and parts of Russia? Okay, where were they when all that was going on? Laundering of money to people like the Bidens and all kinds of people in Washington, D.C. They're all criminals. You know that, right? Washington, D.C. is nothing but a conglomeration of criminals. So we got that as one of the distractions and the fear porn to keep us afraid all the time. And, of course, finally, people are starting to wake up that the whole coronavirus thing was a complete sham from the beginning. From the beginning. Which should do something to the people that were listening to folks like here on our broadcast. We said from day one it was bullshit. Maybe a few of them will remember that. I doubt it, because the attention span of most people today is so short it's almost non-existent. But if they did, they would remember that it was the truthers, the tinfoil hat-wearing folks, the conspiracy theorist people, or the identity people were telling folks that right from the beginning that Fauci, Birx, and all the rest of these Jews are liars. Oh, well, you don't know what you're talking about. You're not educated. You don't have credentials. You don't have PhD after your name or MD or some other nonsensical bullshit item. Forgetting the scripture that says, I will confound the wise with the unlearned. What do you think that means in modern English? It means I'll confine all those people with Harvard degrees and medical school diplomas, etc. I'll confine all those so-called educated people with the uneducated, meaning those that don't have credentials and don't have degrees. Because truth is truth. It doesn't matter how you find it. If you can find truth outside of a, quote, learning institution, does it change the truth? Does it change the knowledge? Of course it doesn't. They want you to believe that somehow you're imbued with super-duper powers, etc., because you went to their universities, but that's just not true. So people are starting to wake up to that, which is really, really good. Now, Yahshua, when he walked the earth, he said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Okay, now he was the Father in flesh, so is he talking about just the two commandments that were talked about in the New Testament? Of course not. He's talking about all of his rules and regulations, his rules of the house, so to speak, for his sons and daughters. Why in the world we have such a hard time with that, I just don't understand it. Partially because you apply modern definitions to words that were used over 2,000 years ago in other languages, and you should know better. And for the people out there that say, well, no, Yahweh ordained the translators to come up with the English versions and the French and the German and the Spanish and the Finnish and the Norwegian and the Turkish and the Chinese. Really? So you think each one of them was inspired by Yahweh, and yet they all disagree with each other. So which one was the inspired one, which one wasn't? How does anybody even say that? That some particular, out of hundreds of different English translations, how do you say this one is the inspired one, all the rest of them aren't? That's as ridiculous as the Roman Catholic Church and some of the nonsense that they teach. I don't know why anybody would be in a Roman Catholic Church today. I really don't. Just like the public school system. I scratch my head sometimes thinking, why would anybody that loves their children send them to a public school system? Okay. Oh, 10-second pause. That could have been a glitch on my behalf here. The computer timed out. So apparently I have to keep moving my mouse or something if it times out. I didn't know it interrupted the stream. I just thought it turned the screens off. So apologies for that. So again, salvation that's talked about, of course the modern day church gets it all wrong, but salvation was to protect you from physical harm here and now, not some ethereal BS thing where you go down, pray the sinner's prayer, and you're instantly, the Holy Spirit enters you and you're good to go for the rest of your life. You're good to go. You got your ticket. So you can go pretty much do what you want, blah, blah, blah. Okay? Modern church world, full of crap, full of lies, deceptions. But the one thing that identifies his children, and we've talked about that analogy of the silversmith purifying the silver many times, the thing to get away from that is that, of course, your purification, your becoming his son and daughter to be used by him happens when the reflection in the silver is of the silversmith, or in our case, when the creator sees the attributes of him in us. Unfortunately, he's probably not seeing much of a reflection in an awful lot of folks today, from what I gather looking around at the state of the world and the state of most people. It's pretty pathetic, really. So on the subject of faith, we'll go ahead and read some verses here, and I just wish people would read and heed what the Father gave us through the Holy Writ when it's properly translated, okay? And again, the Holy Spirit testifies to the truth. Some people call it a warm and fuzzy feeling or a vibration or a vibe. It can be called lots of different things, but you are frequency and energy, and that spirit within you that comes from the Most High, when you hear truth, it should resonate within your very core. Conversely, when somebody's lying to you, like Fauci, the very first day I heard him speak on a television set, I didn't even know anything about the guy. Just looking at his facial expressions, his eyes, his body language, the things he was saying, I knew he was a crook. I knew he was lying his ass off. I'm just shocked that more people didn't. Same thing with that Deborah Birx. Another piece of shit. Paraded out in front of the cameras, even to this day. They haven't gone to jail yet for any of their deceptions and fraud. And the, as some people call him, the orange-haired Jew, was part of all that. So all the Trump-tards out there who think he's the Messiah, well, why didn't he save us from that? And he's a brilliant man and everything else, well, why didn't he figure out these guys are lying? You're telling me the President of the United States, with all the resources he has, couldn't figure out Birx and Fauci were frauds from the beginning? Do you see the scripture coming to pass? I will confound the wise, the people who think they're so damn smart, or they got all these degrees, etc., that makes them smart. I will confine them with the unlearned. So identity teachers were telling you from day one that those people are lying to you. The problem is people worship credentials, and they worship that flat screen called a television set, another idol that we have in our society. It's sickening. Matthew 21, verse 22, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. You know, we have conditional statements. If you remember your English grammar classes from school, and if is a condition. Okay, and it's called an if statement. It's a conditional statement. If you've studied logic or in the area of technical writing, like I did for over 20 years in the power industry, they're called if-then statements. In other words, if you're telling the operator in a procedure he's got to bring a system online, one of the steps in the procedure might say, if this valve is closed, then open it. Well, obviously, if it's already closed, I mean, if it's already open, you would not do that step, would you? Because the if statement says, if this valve is closed, then open it. You see what I'm saying? If sets up the condition, then becomes the step that you would perform. But only if the if statement is positive. In other words, the if statement is true. Same thing in Scripture. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive. Most people stop right there. They forget about the if you have faith. Now, just because you say you have faith, does that mean you actually have it? Look at all the people scared to death over something that doesn't even exist. There is no coronavirus. It's all bullshit. It's all created by media and liars and thieves. Are there illnesses in people's bodies who go through? Yeah, of course there is. But look at most of the people that are having health problems. They've got other comorbidities. They've got other issues going on. Many of the so-called symptoms are that of a common cold, which is based on what? Your body trying to get rid of toxins and poisons. But you don't think about all that. You just listen to these talking heads over the boob tube and believe them. So, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him, our Father. For whoever would draw near to Yahweh God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, when I was a boy and I read that verse, I believed it. I've believed it all my life. That's why many of the people that I grew up with and later on as a young man in the military and in the power industry, many of my friends used to say, Dan, you lead a charmed life. I used to wonder about that. Why would they say that? What do you mean, I lead a charmed life? And then I think of these verses, and that's exactly what it is. You see, these people don't believe. They don't read the Scriptures. They don't know what it says. They don't know that it's my faith. If anything sets me apart from anybody else, it's faith. Because I run my life based on faith. I always have. Because I knew from the time I was young, I can't get through this life on my own. Can't do it. I can't stand for truth and honesty and integrity on my own. I can't. This world doesn't respect it. They don't. You look at most of these people that are affluent or they're multimillionaires, billionaires, and even trillionaires and all that. Are they moral people? Most of them aren't. Are they honest people? Most of them aren't. Do any of them have integrity? Most of them don't. So it's obvious that the average person in this world rewards with their loyalty and their time and energy and money people who don't deserve it. So, as Christ said, the world hates us, the truth tellers. So, as a young man, I knew I was on thin ice with the world. I used to read that one where it said that the world hates. And in church, especially the Methodist church when I attended it, They would say the world hates the church. That's not true. The world hates the true believer. The world loves organized religion. Okay? Because I used to wonder about that. I'm going, the world hates the church. I don't see anybody protesting our little Methodist church or the Bethel Methodist church down at the bottom of the mountain or the Lutheran church in town, the Catholic church in town, the Baptist church outside of town. Nobody seems to be bothering them. I used to wonder about that. Why, now that I'm older and I've gone down through the different trails that I have to learning, I've realized now why. Because the organized church is not telling the truth. So the world loves organized Christianity. They hate the identity message because it identifies who's who, including the liars and deceivers, the bankers, the governments that are all murderers, thieves, destroyers, and work against the King of Kings and his children. Then it made sense. So again, Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. Remember that. Without faith, you can't please the Father. For whoever would draw near to Yahweh God must believe that he exists. Amen. If you don't even believe it exists, do you think your prayers are going to amount to much? Do you think your desires are going to amount to much? Do you think he's really too concerned over you? No. You're the prodigal son. You're an outlier. You have not even acknowledged what he's done for you. You don't even believe he exists. Why the hell would he care? It's the prayers of what? Oh, that's right. The prayers of a righteous man that availeth much. So what's the corollary of that? The unrighteous, their prayers don't amount to a hill of beans. Romans 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And again, now the word of Christ comes from that Greek word logos. And they would say it's the Bible, the written, but how much writing did Christ do? Answer, zero. The logos that's interpreted here as the word is the spoken word of Messiah. The spoken word wasn't from text of any kind. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Mark 11, starting at verse 22. And Yahshua answered them, have faith in Yahweh God. Truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, here we go again, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, there's a whole lot of conditions built into this verse. A lot of people, again, go running off and going, well, all I got to have is faith, and I ask him for anything. It says even a mountain can be moved. Did you ever hear of allegories? Do you think the writer of Mark was trying to say that you don't have much faith if you can't walk up to a mountain in the state where you live and tell it to be moved and it's not moved, then you must not have faith? Well, there's not very many faithful people around because I've never seen somebody move a literal mountain. So these are allegories. Okay? It's no different than when your dad comes home and wife says, well, dear, how was your day at work? And he said, I had a mountain of paperwork to do. Does anybody actually think that at work there was this mountain of paper that the husband was working on? Of course not. It's a figure of speech. This is what's the problem with our people when they take everything literally in modern English that's in Scripture, and they get completely out of touch with reality and our Father in Heaven, because He doesn't deal with nonsense. Our ancestors didn't deal with nonsense. They knew the difference between a figure of speech and reality. Our people today are just so messed up, it's unbelievable. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of Yahweh God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now this is the one that the church world goes, see, works don't mean anything. Oh, really? Oh, yes, they do. What he's talking about is the guy that runs around and does a lot of things for show and says, what a magnanimous person I am. I give to charities, and I've handed out food, and I've taken clothes to the poor. Look at all of my great works. But you're saved from trouble and turmoil on this earth through faith in God the Father. It's not by your works. Your works are nothing but filthy rags before the Father. If, again, conditional, if you don't believe in Him, if you don't have faith in His creation, His design, and His logic, His plan. Modern-day church world has done great damage to the body of Christ, Messiah. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Not by sight. Good. This verse really comes into play in the modern day when technology has put a lot of things in front of your eyes. Between your laptops, your tablets, your cell phones, your television screens, etc., you get flooded with images now like never in history before. And most people are being guided by what they see over these flat screens of death. But 2 Corinthians 5, he's telling them that we walk by faith, not by sight. You can't trust everything you see. You have to have faith in the internal Holy Spirit talking to you. You have to have faith in the rules and regulations that our Father gave us. See, mankind likes to think he can just be a god unto himself. Oh, I don't like those rules. I don't. It's like one guy told me one time. He says, stop telling me what to eat. I don't want to hear about your food laws. I like pork. I like shellfish. I'm going to eat it. See that spirit? Now, put yourself in the position of the Father who created the world, created the food chains, created this body that we occupy. Put yourself in His position, and you've issued these rules for the benefit of their health. And then you hear that kind of garbage coming out of people. Do you think it upsets them a little bit? I've told many of my friends, you can eat anything you want. I'm not going to lose any sleep over what you eat or don't eat. Not going to do it. But I will tell you one thing. If you violate the rules, you are going to pay someday with poor health. And it's only then that you're probably going to wake up and say, wow, what happened? It may be too late. I've lost cousins. I've lost family. I've lost dear friends. They did not listen. I and others tried to tell them about the food laws for their salvation. Here we go with that word salvation again. But the church world, oh, I don't need your kind of salvation, Dan. I went down in front of the pastor at the church. I prayed the sinner's prayer. And I got on my knees and I proclaimed Jesus. And I'm good to go, Dan. I can eat all the pork I want. I can eat all that fattening, greasy food. I can go down to McDonald's and eat five times a week. I don't have to worry about that stuff, Dan. You're just full of shit. You keep that food law stuff to yourself, Dan. I'll be okay. And then 20 or 30 years later, I see the same guy that says that laying in the hospital bed getting ready to have a hip replacement or a knee replacement, or his intestines are going to be ripped apart again and another 6 or 7 inches of his intestines will be gone because he's got Crohn's disease or whatever. And they give it a fancy name, but it's just irritable bowel syndrome because you're putting shit in your belly that doesn't belong there. It's that simple. But what do I know? What do I know? I'm sure that's what the Father's probably sitting up there thinking about right now. Proverbs 3, starting at 5. Trust in Yahweh God with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. This is the verse, or two verses, that I went to every time I'd hear that statement about you lead a charmed life. What made my life up to this point charmed was the fact that when I was a boy and read that verse, I believed it with all my heart. I didn't lean on my own understanding about much of anything because I can be fooled. I could be reading a book that's a complete lie. I could have had somebody deceiving me. So I never leaned on my own understanding, but I trusted the Father. I kept myself as pure as I could. I kept my motives as pure, trying to always be honest and forthright, trying to be helpful to everybody around me as much as I could. To spend a life in service to my brothers and sisters rather than a narcissist that only gives a shit about themselves. I figured I'm going to work on those things because I can control those things. I can't control what's going on around me. I can't control what people down the street are going to do, people at the state capitol or in Washington, D.C., or even and on the world scene now. I can't control those folks, but I can control what I do, what I say, what my motives are. I can control that. And I took these verses to mean that if I keep those things in line, I'll just trust that the Father will open doors or close doors to guide me where He wants me to go. Some people call that being a charmed life. I look at it just being a life governed by faith in the Father as my commander-in-chief and as my best friend. The one who sticks closer than a friend, according to Scripture. The one who loves us more than any person's capable of loving. I've known that since I was a child. He loves without an agenda. Because I am His creation, as you are. And He loves us so much that He'll lead us to truth if we seek it. There's that conditional statement again. He will lead you into all truth if you seek it, and if you love truth. Why did He send a strong delusion over our people at this time? Because our people, like many people today, no longer care about the truth. It's all a fantasy world, or as my brother says, it's all a Disney world today, where fantasy is now reality. We treat the world around us like it's all part of the corrupt pagan Disney situation where you can fantasize anything and it becomes reality. Talk about a screwed up world. Luke 1, verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with Yahweh God. See? Nothing will be impossible. That's why they say, Dan, you can't lead a revolution in this world. You can't do anything about the New World Order. You can't do about that. That's all I hear. You can't, Dan. You can't. You're just one man. Dan, you can't. All them Debbie Downers out there. All that negativity. I said, well, what about Luke 1:37? For nothing is impossible with Yahweh God. Because that's the reality. He's in control, not these charlatans, quacks, liars, thieves, murderers, transsexuals, queers, and everything else that are running around, these rejects from humanity, these aberrations of nature. They're not in control. You may let them do what they do, but they're not in control. We, the people, could take it away from them tomorrow if we'd get our heads out of our rectums long enough to see the daylight and the truth of things. We have the numbers, they don't. We have the King of Kings on our side, they don't. We have morality on our side, they do not. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of Yahweh God. See, there you go again. That your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, because most men aren't wise. What's the beginning of wisdom, according to Proverbs? The acknowledgement of Yahweh and who He is. That's the beginning of wisdom. Most men don't have wisdom. They might have some information. Most of it's wrong, but they have information, but they do not have wisdom. So you do not trust in the academics, the professors, the science that's talked about, these morons. But believe in the power of Yahweh God. Whether you like to admit it or not, He created all this, you know, folks. This is His creation. You and I, this world, this terra firma that we live in, okay, that's His creation, not yours, not mine. Not the oligarchs, not the Jewish cabal, not the Pesors, not the Rothschilds, not the Soroses, none of them. Not the Trumps, not the Bidens, none of these quacks and players out there. It's not their world. They like to think it is, but it's not their world. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Amen. I can do all things. Mark 4, verse 23, and Yahshua said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. It's my belief that I can change the world. That's my belief. I, little old me, can change the world. Yeah, I believe that. And you can say, well, Dan, you're deceiving yourself. Really? Well, maybe I am. But that's not going to stop me. I believe I can change the world. All I have to do is maintain my faith and maintain the path that I'm on. What I promised Him a long time ago as a boy. That's all I have to do. And I believe I can do it, and I believe you can do it, and I believe we as a group can do it, but I can't control the group. I can't control you, but I can control me, and I'm going to go on my path that I promised a long time ago. Come hell or high water, in spite of any kind of threats, in spite of any kind of bribery, they don't mean anything to me. Never have. Because I know everything of this world will be gone one day. None of the money, none of the gold, none of the silver, none of the toys, none of the homes, none of the cars, not even of the loved ones. They're not forever. But my Father in Heaven is forever. What's on the other side of the firmament is forever. So as Scripture says, I'll lay up my treasure over there. If He decides to bless me, and many times He has, with some kind of a stipend here while I'm walking on this earth, that's wonderful. But I don't count on it. I don't believe I deserve it. It's a gift from the Father. And I will praise him for it. It's a blessing and a gift from the Father. Because he does love us as a father. He would love to pour out the blessings from heaven on us. The problem is we don't deserve it. And I'm not talking about every single person. I'm talking about in general. Mankind, especially his children, the Israelites, the ones that were supposed to carry the law unto the nations. They are a huge disappointment. So we look around and we see this mess, we see the lies and deceptions and all the chaos and the poisoning of the food and air and the poor animals that suffer and the vegetation that has to live with all the chemicals and dyes and poisons. That's not what he wanted, but that's what we've created. And we can change it, but it's going to take work and it's going to take cooperation amongst ourselves, but it also takes us turning away from the enemy. Stop supporting them. Stop giving them your energy, with negative vibrations of doubt and fear and concern and all those things. Turn around and give glory to the Father and just tell yourself every morning you get up that I'm going to do what I can do. I can do something every single day. I can be a witness. I can demonstrate to others of what faith, a walk in faith can do. I can help those that need help. I can pray for those that need prayer. I can educate myself so that when people do ask me for something, whether it's about health, whether it's about money, whether it's about government, whether it's about church or religion or any of these things, I can give an educated answer. Instead of, well, I'm not really sure. My emotions are telling me. Who cares about your emotions? James 2:24, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. This is one that the modern day church world just ignores completely, don't they? How many times does scripture say that be ye doers and not hearers only? That's another way of saying what James 2:24 is saying here. You see that a person is justified in the eyes of the Father by works and not faith alone. You see, it's because if you have faith, you will have works. It's impossible not to have works. The problem with a lot of people is they don't really have faith. So there are no works. And that's why they want to believe the modern day church world's right when they say your works don't matter. Because they can't create good works because they really don't have faith. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. That's what we should all aspire to say on our last day on this earth. I fought the good fight. I finished my race. I kept my faith. My faith in myself. My faith in my Father above. My faith in my brothers and sisters, my relatives, whether they're DNA relatives or one of my Caucasian brothers or sisters. We're in a real struggle right now. A real struggle with all the lies and deceptions that are going on today. It is amazing. I field phone calls and texts and different forms of communication every day. By the people who are struggling because of this craziness that we see all around us. So we got to stay focused on the things that we know. We got to stay focused on each other and the Father above. We got to stay grounded literally and figuratively, grounded so that we're not cast around by this storm that we're in. Keep the anchor set so we're not blown around and we're dashed on the rocks like those that do not have good grounding, a good anchor in the storm, so to speak. And again, the ministry is here for anybody that is out there suffering or needs help. Prayers are always going out for those who are either hurting in their health or their spiritual life. Seeking to bring us back together, as Malachi 4 talks about, as a family. That we look to each other. Not always that somebody can do something for us, but what can we do for another person? Because it doesn't cost anything to give a kind word or some encouragement or to be understanding or have a shoulder for somebody to cry on or a pat on the head or a pat on the back to say good boy or good work. Those things don't cost anything. But they sure can make somebody feel a lot better. Help boost their own confidence level, their own sense of security, their own grounding against the waves of this storm that we're in. We have tremendous power. We just don't even know it. We just don't know it. With that, I'm going to go ahead and close tonight. We do ask that you keep us in prayer, that I will follow the leading of the Spirit in everything I say and do for our brothers and sisters. It's a crazy time. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. You are the only one who deserves it. There's a lot of things that need fixing, and we have a growing number of men out here who want to make a change in this world. We have a growing number of ladies who support the men that want to make those changes. Many people are starting to realize that the mainstream institutions are pretty much lying to us about everything at this time. And that you are the author of truth. You said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. You and you alone. And as we seek you out, then we help ourselves and we can help others. To that end, Father, we just pray that your return, of course, would be very, very soon. We pray that the kingdom would be established. We pray that the wicked, according to Malachi, would be exterminated so that the righteous could stand forth and we can take this world and turn it back into the paradise as it was created, and bring relief to the world of plants and vegetation, the world of animals, and the world of mankind, as they suffer under the yoke of these aberrant miscreants and cretins who pretend to be our lords and masters. May revelation come to pass, Babylon burned to the ground, and out of the ashes, the phoenix of true sons and daughters, true believers who wish to do the right thing for the right reason, would come out of that, and we could restore things in your name, Father Yahweh. Be with us and guide us in all that we say and do, to thy glory and for thy kingdom. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings, and always we ask, Father, that you would protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
Princess, and my father is the king. He loves me
When I'm angry, he loves me when I sing. And when I disappoint him, still he loves me just the same. He told me I'm his treasure. He left his throne to bear my shame. I'm a princess, and the king has crowned me with his name. I am a princess, and my father is the one who holds all things together by his power and his love. He keeps the planets spinning, each one in its perfect place. And right from the beginning, I was predestined by his grace to be a princess, and the king has crowned me with his name. I don't live high up on a hill, and I don't ride white horses yet, but I hope someday I will. I like to dream about all the things he has in store. Just maybe stars are really stepping stones that lead to my front door. He told me he's preparing a beautiful mansion just for me, with windows made of rainbows looking out across the crystal sea. I'm a princess, everything the king has he wants to share with me. When everything is ready, he will come to claim his own. Royal sons and daughters who have been loyal to his throne. His love is beyond measure. His firstborn son removed our shame. He's called us his own treasure. Though the earth may shake, we shall remain. I'll be with him forever. And even though we shall be changed, I am still a princess, and the king has crowned me with his name. I'm a princess, and the king has crowned me with his name. I'm a princess, and the king has crowned me with his royal name. His royal name. His royal thank you.
I'll tear the photograph. Those love letters I'm ripping at. Cause tonight I gotta get her off my mind. I'll throw her sweater.
try to deceive us and rob and relieve us of life worth living for. It's time we rock them in their ivory towers, make them feel the rage and the wrath of the coming storm. Rock them in their ivory towers, make them feel the fire and the ire of the people's storm. Rock them in their ivory towers. The sound shakes the ground, and the towers crumble down, and they drown in the blood, sweat, and tears. In the blood, sweat, and tears. Their blood, sweat, and tears. Rock them in their rivalry.
Give their lives on foreign land. 64, the beat is ringing in my ear. Up ahead of my vision, heat, I saw her standing there. With a flash of thumbs and flag me, oh, I said, hop on in. She tossed her Gucci bag in the back, and I took her for a spin. She had long legs and high heels, she was looking pretty fine. Rings on every finger and lips like cherry wine. With a pretty smile that rocked my world, man, I couldn't believe. Out of the bag came a cold 45, said, give me your money, please. I was tongue-tied, I was Shanghai, and I thought I'd met my maker. She looked at me like I was Clyde, she was Bonnie Parker. Well, she kissed me twice, and I closed my eyes, prayed for it to last. Heaven knows what a fool I was, all she wanted was my cash. All right. I was tongue-tied, I was Shanghai'd, I thought I met my maker. She looked at me like I was Clyde, she was Bonnie Parker. With her kiss me twice, I closed my eyes, prayed for it to last. Heaven knows what a fool I was, all she wanted was my cash. I swerved to the left, I swerved to the right, I was trying to gain control. She looked at me with a wink of an eye, said hello to the side of the road. Well, she kicked me out and took my car off into the night she went. Left me standing there when I want them dime, or even one red sand. I was tongue-tied, I was Shanghai'd, I thought I met my maker. She looked at me like I was Clyde, she was Bonnie Parker. Well, she kissed me twice, I closed my eyes, prayed for it to last. And I know what a fool I was, all she wanted was my cash. Yeah, and I know what a fool I was, all she wanted was my cash. That's all she wanted. My old man.
The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting soul. Testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be sweeter than honey. fear of Yahweh is clean. Enduring forever, the judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether.
Honey, honey, and the honeycomb.